Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 126 of the J Situation Podcast. I'm recording this on August 16th, 2022. How are you guys? Seriously, how are you? Really, I am asking. I mean, I hope you're all still doing well with whatever life is throwing towards you. If you're out there and you're stressed or worried, go ahead and take a short break from that stuff. Take a deep breath through your nose and out through your mouth. Do it again. In through your nose and out through your mouth. You feel better now, don't you? If you want, pause the podcast, do it again. In through your nose, out through your mouth. That's right. We're all going to make it. I promise we are. I just had a wonderful powerlifting workout. Midweek workouts are always so great. Really hit it hard. Full squat, bench, deadlift day, followed by pull-ups, which are amazing. Very good for you. Highly recommended. Very important. It's very important to have a sound mind and a sound body. Don't let anyone tell you different. Yeah. So I think you should do it. It's my recommendation to you. I don't recommend a lot of things to you, but I do recommend that. Now then, it has been a very busy month for all of you, for the industry, and of course for Pew Science. We're in the thick of it, deep into 2022, deep into the core of the year, into the creamy center. And so far, we have seen some crazy things. Yes, in fact, just this past weekend, Pew Science members got a special research supplement focusing on the Mark 18. They did. And I realize, it's a little bit uncharacteristic to do that, to release data and analysis on a weekend, and the Lord's Day, no less. I released it on a Sunday, so we could get a little bit of a head start for this week, which we did need. This week is going to be a doozy. Okay, so buckle up. So, what is this guy talking about? Research supplement, Mark 18, Pew Science. Who is this guy? Don't be alarmed. Sit back, relax, and let's talk about silencers. And when it's all said and done, and the dust is settled, if you decide to get one sometime, you don't have to, but if you do, one place you could do that is from Silencer Shop. That's right, because the J Situation Podcast is proudly sponsored by Silencer Shop. You can use their kiosk, do your fingerprints and photos electronically, and in turn, you cut down on errors. You simplify your silencer purchasing process, you get a money-back guarantee. It's great. No transfer fees, no paperwork errors, just you and your silencer with no drama. It truly is silencer ownership simplified. How's that for an advertisement? I wrote that, you know. Proud of that one. Also, check out True Shot Gun Club out of Arizona. Click on the show notes on the website there, pewscience.com/podcast, or in your favorite podcast provider for the episode. That link in the show notes, it takes you to their site. If you buy ammo using that link, it helps the podcast and it helps Pew Science. Done. If you also want to join their A-Zone Club to get free shipping on all your ammo, use code PewScience and you get $20 off. That's right. You win, they win, you help the podcast. Boom, simple. I hope it helps you. That's for you guys. That's literally why I do that. Believe me, it's not that it helps PewScience that much, but it does help you. And so that's why I read that every time. I'm hoping that people are taking advantage of that. And please, and if you don't like it for some reason, let me know. That'll help give feedback because I don't want to be doing something that doesn't help you. Okay. And lastly, and obviously, most importantly, the J Situation Podcast is sponsored by Pew Science, pushing the silencer industry forward one test at a time. Visit pewscience.com for the suppression rating. It is the simplest and the most accurate hearing safe rating for your suppressed small arms and is based on true human inner ear response from the entire gunshot from before combustion takes place all the way until all the combustion is gone. The entire time regime of the gunshot. That's right. We consider the entire signature. Okay. When you shoot the gun, the sound it makes, yeah, we use that. And the suppression rating is in Section 5 of the Silencer Sound Standard. There are also reviews in Section 6 of the standard. And finally, Section 7 contains the rankings. It's a simple database tool with which you can sort and filter all the public test results. And when you find something you like, you can click the links in the table and it'll take you back to Section 6 where you can look up the most in-depth silencer data on the planet. And most likely, in the galaxy. I assume that we are the only people doing this in the galaxy. I can't say universe because I just don't have that information. Now, as always, if you are a manufacturer and you would like to use Pew Science for private testing and consulting services, well, of course, there's a form on the website with which you can submit that inquiry, and your contact information and all test data that we generate as part of a contracted effort is always held in strict confidence unless, of course, you want to release it to the public, in which case Pew Science can certainly help facilitate that. We've done that many times. You saw it a couple weeks ago with Huck's work. And guess what? You're going to see it again this week, fam, with some other stuff. So it's going to be crazy. And it's made possible by wonderful Pew Science clients. It's made possible by wonderful Pew Science members, because you need to understand that you can support this podcast. You can support Pew Science. You can support all the testing I do by joining with a membership at pewscience.com. And there's even, for folks that don't like those recurring fees, which, you know, everyone has their own personal risk tolerance with their budgets and things like that. It's a large world, and we're all trying to make it out there. And so I also put a donate feature on the review page. You know, sometimes folks that are members, they want to give more. And sometimes people aren't members and they just want to give a little bit. And sometimes people want to give a lot of it. And that really helps the research. And so, yeah, it's there on the review page and the podcast page. Every little bit helps. And you know what? Something that is completely free to everybody. You can give this podcast a great rating on your favorite podcast provider, whether that's iTunes or Spotify or things like that. That really helps the entire effort. And it lets the general public know that suppressed small arms are awesome. And that is the goal. Eventually, we'll normalize the use of suppressed small arms. It will happen. Trust me. It will happen. It's not a matter of if, but when. Now then, I have four topics prepared for you today. I thought this was going to be a short podcast. It might not be. I'm a little amped up on pre-workout, but I'm also exhausted from powerlifting. It's funny how that works. Some of you have asked me, you're like, oh my God, he's in the gym. We're going to get pre-workout Jay. And it's like, yeah, you are. But really, you didn't get post-workout Jay, because sometimes I might take a little pre-workout before the podcast to jumpstart me if I'm having really tired, like if I'm really tired, I've been working all day. Well, I was working all day today, but also I powerlifted right before this. I already took a shower, you know, had my good protein shake, a little bit of carbs, not too much, not too heavy, because I didn't want to, like, you know, I didn't want to get too lackadaisical and drowsy here. I don't want to get lethargic. Just enough to, you know, get some glycogen back in, get my blood sugar right, get good protein in, you know, get the good creatine in with a lot of water, you know, really helps you. So I'm energized. I'm ready to go. Four topics. Topic one, member research supplement 684. Taming the Mark 18, part three. That's right, part three with Huck's Works. Against the Otter Creek Labs, against some Surefire configuration. Surprise! Real data analysis to wrinkle your brain. It was Sunday. We'll talk about that as much as we can publicly. Topic two, new sound signature review this week. This week? And not only that, there is more this week than you may know. More research included too? What could it be? Certainly silencer related, right? Certainly. Topic three, why not? Listener questions. Solicitation four continues. Let's dive back in. We still have a lot to cover. I said, you know what? Let's do it. We have time. We can make time. And topic four, this is really really something that's interesting to me and really awesome. Many heartfelt communications have been received from consumer members of Pew Science. And even from the R&D and testing clients, just really encouraging support and kind words about things that have been done recently, and everyone's just been working as a great team. I feel like we're just all a team in all of this, and it's just working really well, and it brings me joy that this brings you joy. So for that, we are all fortunate, okay? It's true, and the landscape continues to change. It does. It's shifting, it's morphing, it's alive, and with grassroots support, the movement has spread not only far, but deep. It has roots. And that's all you can hope for with an effort like this. That's right. Topic one at a time of 9 minutes and 55 seconds. All right, I'm gonna drink of water right now. Okay, man, my body's so wrecked. That workout was off the chain. My gym just got, they reconfigured some stuff, and they just put a lot more lifting platforms in there and a bunch of new kilo plate sets. And it was just, the energy in there tonight was just so good. And there were some really, really talented lifters in tonight. And it was just, God, I love days like that. I love days like that. People are just, their head down, go to work. Squatting big weight. It was just great. Topic one, member research supplement 684. That's right, Taming the Mark 18, part three. Huxworks, Otter Creek Labs, Surefire. It's a gladiator arena at this point. Boy, howdy. I think it was important to do this one. And I almost wrote it last week, but I needed a short break. I wanted to make sure this was published in close proximity to the review of the Flow 556K, right? I wanted to make sure the folks that... A protein shake, though. I wanted to make sure that the folks that really digested the Flow 556K data had something like this in close proximity, time-wise, to know how different the science is. I really wanted the big picture to be put forth as expediently as possible and as contextual as possible. So I think this does that. I want people to have the full context regarding the science performance, and I didn't want there to be any doubt regarding how, like, exactly the signature compared to other silencers. Like, I see things sometimes on the internet when people discuss the data that I publish, and sometimes I'm like, gosh, you're really oversimplifying this. Let me kind of give you some more context. And that's what I did with this. And, you know, when I say I didn't want there to be any doubt about, you know, how it compared, I really do mean that. I mean, I want you to be super duper double triple sure you understand what you're getting into when you put this sensor on a 556 SBR. And I think that this research supplement does that for Pew Science members. I do think that. I want to think that. And I've been told that it's been helping. The members have given me feedback. I've received some really great feedback, and it looks like we hit the mark on it. Now, I picked four sponsors to include. You'll notice this is the third article in the Members Only Mark 18 Research Series. Just some background for those of you just tuning in or new to this. In the first article of the series, I compared the RC2 with both of its mounts to the full-size OSS HXQD 556. That was right after that OSS data came out first. And I was like, man, you guys need to understand what's going on, because the ear rating was so high. And I was like, you guys need to understand this. And I think it really helped shed light on exactly what's going on with that technology. Sorry, one second. Like, I ate so much. I just, like, stuffed my face with food before this. Now, that was research supplement 665. Now, then I compared the RC2 to the CGS Helios QD. And that was in research supplement 672. That was a really good one. And with that, you kind of saw what happens with the Helios QD and what, you know, what is it doing? And we talked about that ad nauseum. I don't need to go into that right now. I just want to let you know that's out there. So since then, since those two research supplements, there have been some more 556 reviews published. Obviously, you've seen other stuff from other folks. And, you know, really, we started to really notice some trends, didn't we? One trend was overbore, okay? And its consequences, its limitations, given certain other aspects of design, you know, things like that. So I thought it was important to take a look at the top performers of the whole group so far. And, the top performers at the muzzle. The top performers to bystanders, you know, that's that muzzle suppression rate. And then I want to look at, what are the top performers at the shooter's ear on the Mark 18, the untuned standard Mark 18? What are the top performers at the shooter's ear? So what do we have in this group? We got the Otter Creek Labs Polonium with the direct thread mount that was tested. We got the Surefire SOCOM 556 RC2 with a three-prong flash hider mount and the Warcomp mount. And then we got the OSS HXQD 556 which was that full-size OSS Helix series, right? And then we got the new HuxWorks or OSS Flow 556K, completely new. Okay, so the two OSS and HuxWorks silencers, those are high performance at the shooter's ear on this weapon system. And then you had the Surefire and the Otter Creek being high performance at the muzzle. See, so that's kind of how I balanced this. This is why I wanted to take a look at these extremes. And so that was my logic in picking the silencers for the research supplement. Okay, in case you were wondering why those were picked, that's why I literally looked at the top two in each category, and I was like, okay, let's do it. This is great, because really the point of this was the Flow 556K. And again, evaluating it for members in context. And what provides the most context? The two extremes of the range. Yeah? Perfect, yeah? I thought it was perfect. Now, I mean, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. So, one thing to note for everyone listening, obviously there's a lot of people listening to this. This is a members only research supplement. So that means that only Pew Science members have access, okay? And the reason for that is because in addition to this work being very complicated, okay, it's very complicated to produce this. And it's a very high level of effort. And it is like, and accordingly, it's very useful. It has a high utility. You understand? So all these factors make it extremely high value. You understand? Because, you know, I guess value can be measured in different ways, but I consider this to be extremely high value work. And because of that, I feel the Pew Science members are the ones that deserve that. Okay? They literally made it possible to produce. So that's why they're the ones who get to read it. Okay? So, you know, for those of you who have some heartburn about that, well, I'm sorry. Not everything in this life is free. Okay? These Pew Science members funded it. I put forth the effort to do it. So people have spent. Yeah, you spent money. We spent time. They're the same thing, just quantified differently, right? So why you think you don't want to, why you think you spend no money and no effort and you get something for free? Well, sometimes you do. Not this, okay? I really appreciate, I mean, I don't want to lecture you here, but, you know, I just, you know, we don't really get a lot of people complaining, but, you know, there's always someone who's like, well, you got to pay. It's like, well, you don't have to pay. You also don't have to read it, you know? And you know what's really interesting about this? Interestingly enough, I had forgotten to tell HuxWorks that I was writing this. Because, right, the contract's already done. The deliverable's finished. I already published their work that, you know, everything, that contract is finished. That's a closed project. Understand? Project closed. Effort's finished. So I'm like, okay, well, that's been published to the world. So now let's squeeze it. Let's squeeze that lemon. Let's see how much we can get out of that for people to really make sure that people really understand what they're getting into. You know, and it just so happens that HuxWorks is a corporate member of Pew Science. So guess what? They got the announcement in the newsletter at the same time all the other people subscribed to the newsletter get the announcement. And they were able to read it just like you at the same time. Okay? They didn't even know it was coming. And I hope it helps them. I told them. I texted. I was like, hey, by the way, dude. I don't know if you know this, but I just published some very in-depth research on your silencer. I think it'll help you. And I think it will. I think they'll see exactly what it's doing. Because to my knowledge, I don't think anyone in the entire world has done what I've done to show that. So it not only does it help you guys that are Pew Science members and listeners to this podcast and consumers, it helps the manufacturers too. Okay, there's a reason they come to Pew Science. Sometimes people think it's for marketing. Well, it can be if their product performs very well, sure. But it's also for R&D. Because Pew Science now has that reputation. Okay? And I think I've proven it. This is the 84th article I've written, I think, over years consistently. I think I do this podcast every week. I mean, this is the 126th episode. I think I've proven that my intentions, I've proven that I don't have any ulterior motives here. So the proof is in the pudding, as they say. And I think that's what you're seeing. I think when we talked about the industry advancement because of Pew Science, you know how I kind of waxed poetic about that in like the early stages of the podcast? You know, many episodes go, and I was like, you know what? I think this is going to make a difference. We'll see. I think you're seeing that now. And that's cool. So I just wanted to share that, and I know some people get bored with this type of talk, but I think it's important. I use this podcast to update you on the effort because you're all part of it. So I do think that I think it's cool that the companies that like HuxWorks, and they're not the only one, like other silencer manufacturers, they're both corporate members of the research cooperative, but also their R&D clients. I think it's cool because they all get the crowdsourced benefit of member data. Like all these guys, like look at the website. I forgot like everyone, but it's like, you know, KGM's on there, Richmond Tactical's on there, OSS, CGS. These are all silencer manufacturers. Otter Creek, they're all silencer manufacturers. Okay? Diligent Defense, they're silencer manufacturers. And what are they getting? Sure, they're supporting Pew Science to keep it going. That's one part. But what else are they getting with that membership? Well, they just got one of the biggest pieces of silencer research ever published in the history of the silencer discipline. You know what I mean? And it's crowdfunded. It's cool, right? It's almost as if this is not the first time I've done something like this. It's almost as if there's a precedent to form joint industry projects and research cooperatives in other industries. It's almost as if that already existed. Weird, right? So I'm glad it's working, guy. I mean, being a little facetious, but you do know, like, Pew Science is new. It's the first of its kind in the silencer game, but research cooperatives are not new, guys. They're run by private corporations all the time in a lot of industries. The public just doesn't see it. Making it public is a game changer. Because think about it. I'm not going to go too far off in this tangent, but I want you to understand how valuable this is. All you Pew Science members, sometimes I don't know if... When some people join and they cancel right away because like they just want a little bit, and that's fine. Like I get it. Not everyone wants to do this. But for those of you who've been a member for a long time, like I really want you to understand the gravity. So in other industries, let's pick one. First of all, I don't want to reveal proprietary information about other things. But let's pick an industry. I don't know. Baby strollers. Pick baby strollers. What if like baby strollers got mechanized, which they probably already have, and it was very important that the baby strollers had certain safety features. And if your baby stroller was powered by a certain type of hydrogen fuel cell, that baby stroller could be incidents of those baby strollers exploding and killing babies. That would be bad. So what the baby stroller manufacturers would do, they may be able to solve it themselves internally for all their different baby strollers. But what if it was a problem that they didn't all understand? What if there was a problem with baby strollers and hydrogen fuel cell baby strollers in which the Terminators took it over, like Skynet came alive and something happened so complex that they were like, man, we need outside help and we would be real way stronger together if we solve this problem and save babies. So if there's a consulting company, a private company, an engineering company that had the expertise to figure that out, what could that company do? Well, they could go to every stroller company and they could be like, hey, I know how to make your stroller safer. I know what the research path to go down, but it's going to take a little bit of time and it's going to take more money than probably you want to spend individually. So my proposition is, let's call all the stroller companies. We get all the stroller companies together. Each stroller company pitches in a little bit every year. And what our research organization will do is we're going to create a symposium in which we present how to save babies and the research path how to best save babies from hydrogen fuel cell explosions in those baby strollers, those super high-speed baby strollers run by Terminators. And then we give you guidance and prospectus of the research. And when you do that, you will guide the research. You'll all have a say because it'll all be public for you in the cooperative. And then we'll advance the state of practice of baby stroller safety and hopefully eventually win the war against the machines. John Connor be praised. So, that this hypothetical example I'm giving you, that is not only a funny story about Skynet, it's actually true in that it's been done in many industries, and now you see it done in Pew Science, and the difference is with Pew Science, the world sees it. I don't have to give this to you. This does not have to be public. Everything could be members only. Right? But it's not. See how that works? What are we doing? We're accomplishing the same goal of stopping Skynet, but we're also helping people. That's right. So if you're a member, I hope you had a chance to check it out. Pay particular attention to the high-level conclusions. If you don't want to read the whole thing, which is fine, you don't have to. Folks that are not members who might be curious, just to let you know what it is, the article describes and shows quantitatively, in depth, how the silencers influence inner ear response relative to one another. And it also gives you some really good first-round pop analysis. And I think that's really important. And so I think it's actually for a lot of people. So that if you're interested in first-round pop, this is your article, my friend. Now, if you want to know the most you can about those four silencers and compare them to each other to see how they stack up on the same weapon, this article is for you. Okay, so with that, go check it out or don't. It's your choice. If you want it, it's there. Hope it helps. All right, topic two. Head time at 26 minutes and 23 seconds. Okay, a little more water here. Topic two, new sound signature review this week. That's right. Not only that, I because I'm doing it in the way I'm doing, I got to do even more than one article, so it's going to be a whole thing. Oh, bless it. Oh, bless my heart on this one. This is going to be a thing. I wasn't sure when I was going to publish this, but I think now is as good time as ever, and it's kind of like ripping off a Band-Aid, you know, or maybe jumping to a swimming pool when you don't know what the temperature of the water is. You know it's going to be okay, but you're also kind of like, uh-oh. Yeah, no, but really, it's not negative. No, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. It's just, it's new. It's very new. A lot of new information is going to be presented this week, and I have no doubt there are going to be a range of responses, okay? A range of responses. I think the response from people is going to vary from joy to excitement to extreme anger and everything in between, per typical. Okay, and so I also think it's going to set the stage for another vector. Okay, it's going to be another vector, and I'm not sure folks have been thinking about it very much. At least, I mean, I think folks that tuned into Pew Science have been thinking about it, but I'm not sure some people have thought about this, so, oh, we're going to do it. So, and another thing I can tell you about the articles that are coming this week, in some respects, they're another layer of the pyramid. Yeah. We've laid the foundation, right? I'm full of analogies this podcast. We've 1 second. Oh, man, that was energetic burp. We've laid the foundation, and the foundation of the pyramid is structurally sound, and you know, years of work to ensure it'll be stable forever. Really, I think that's a good analogy because it really is. It's years of work to create this, and so now you get to see what incremental construction looks like on a strong base. This is what we're doing. It's almost like the frog in a pot of water that's slowly getting hot. And if you place the frog in a pot of very hot water, he'll jump out, right? You can't do that to a frog. He'll be like, nah, son. But you put that frog in just a normal thing of water, and then you warm it slowly, and he's just gonna have a relaxing bath. I feel like I'm butchering that analogy. doesn't he die? I'm not trying to kill the frog. Regardless, it's not really applicable here. It's fine. It's more like you're taking a shower, and I'm going to rip the shower curtain down. I'm going to throw cold water on you. I'm going to blast an air horn, and then maybe I'm going to sing you happy birthday. Okay, you might be surprised. You're probably going to like it a little. That's right. No. Well, when I publish this stuff, don't freak out. Okay, just relax. Take it in. Be patient. There's going to be chaos, I'm sure. I'm going to be absolutely flooded with requests. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones. It's going to be wild. I think it's exciting. I can tell you that what I'm publishing is fortuitous. We are very fortunate. Me and you, we are very fortunate that this is getting published. And I alluded to this new publication and research a while back, so I'm going to say what I said again. This is the last thing I'm going to say on this today until we talk about this next week. For those of you who like silencers, for those of you who have been in the silencer game a while or got into it because of the allure of the art of silence, like just the nature of suppressed small arms, the true joy of the suppressed small arm weapon as a system, you people, you guys are going to get the most out of this, I think. I mean, this is for all of us, but mostly it's for you. So stick around this week for fresh data, okay? And a fresh look at a new platform. You've earned it. It's your birthright. Okay, this is for you. This is for you guys. I'm so excited about it. Okay. All right, let's move into topic 3 at a time of 30 minutes and 51 seconds. Oh man, this week is going to be so awesome. We are so damn lucky this is happening. Couldn't be going any better. Oh, I'm so excited about it. We have a whole silencer sound standard, guys, for the industry, and it's freaking working. And it's crowdfunded, and people love it, and it's working. Isn't that cool? Topic 3. Topic 3, listener questions. That's right, solicitation 4 continues. We're going to dive back in. We're going to dive back in, and you know what? You know, I had the members-only research supplement open, and then I realized I really couldn't talk about it, so I'm going to close that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to open up our spreadsheet here. We still have a lot to cover, so I thought it would be good to dive back into solicitation 4. And for those of you just tuning in, I know there's a lot of new people listening. What I do periodically, in addition to answering questions all the time via email and DM on social media and informally, what I do is I do formal solicitations for podcast questions every once in a while, and I usually do that on the J Situation Instagram account. So this is the podcast of the same name. We've done that 4 times. Each time we get hundreds of questions. We go through them. We record the questions in a spreadsheet, and I keep a tally. And so I highlight the rows. So what I did last time, we left off on a global question number 258, and question 61 from the 4th solicitation. Okay, so this was the 258th question we've answered in this podcast, and it's the 61st question in the 4th solicitation. And the question was, and it wasn't really a question, this later gentleman said 11.5 test would be cool. And I went on to tell them that I also thought it would be cool. And we've done some internal Pew Science testing with that platform. Maybe someday you'll get some of that. How about that? If you'd like to know more about the answer to my question, you can go back and click on listener questions, a metadata tag there on pewscience.com/podcast. It'll take you to every episode with listener questions in it. And the episode before this one will certainly answer that question for you. Okay, so now we're going to move on to global question 259, sub-question 62. This question, I actually did pre-screen these questions. I have to strike this from the record. It is a question that I'm unable to answer. And I don't even want to read the question. It's highly inflammatory. And the only reason I'm telling you that is because I read every question, or at least make reference to every question that's submitted to Pew Science, and I didn't want to mess up the numbering system. I didn't want to delete one. So let it be known that global question 259, local question number 62 is stricken from the record. What I'm going to do is I'm going to highlight that in red, and then if we ever have like an outtakes B-roll episode of this podcast, or something happens when in the industry that makes this something I can talk about, I'll talk about it. But until then, I'm not going to do damage to the industry or to Pew Science or to other people by answering the question. Okay, saving that. Question 260, sub-question 63. What effect does mount have on performance, change of blast chamber size, and end of muzzle device to tip a first baffle? Oh, This guy's bringing the heat. One second. Get some water here. Excellent question, sir, ma'am. Let me read that again. What effect does mount have on performance? Change of blast chamber size and end of muzzle device to tip of first baffle? So this is a lot of questions here baked in, and it's highly technical, highly topical. Frankly, it's a lot to talk about. To answer this, sometimes, sir, ma'am, sometimes significant performance effects or influence. You're asking what effect does it have? So let's talk. You know, here's what I'll say first. Sometimes it can be a significant effect, but you don't see it a lot of times. And the reason why you don't see it a lot of times is due to how simple silencers are and how restrictive the geometry is, okay? And I don't mean restrictive like a restrictive orifice, like a tiny orifice restricting flow. That's not what I'm saying. What I mean when the silencers are restrictive to significant geometrical variation, okay? And they couldn't be better textbook examples of this. Great examples of this are the Dead Air Sandman series and the Rugged Rifle Silencers. The Dead Air Sandman Rifle Silencers, the Rugged Rifle Silencers, you know, the Surge, the Razor, blah, blah, blah. First of all, the Sandman series and the Rugged Silencers are extremely similar silencers. Extremely similar silencers. I mean, the baffles are different, but they're not super radically different, okay? The orifice is different, fine. But both those silencers are they're derivative from old designs, and they're really simple in the way they work, okay? They're really simple. And that's not a knock on Rugged, and that's not a knock on Dead Air, so don't politicize it. I'm saying they're simple because we understand them, and we've proven they're simple. How have we proven it? With Pew Science. We've already proven that we know how they work. So, in addition to those simple predictable geometries, they have welded mounts. Okay, the Dead Air Chemo mount it's welded in the Sandman series, and the Rugged dual taper lock, it's integral to the silencer, just like that Chemo is on the Dead Air Sandman series. Okay, so you can take a flash hider, you can take a break, whatever. You're not gonna have a super big difference in gas dynamics that's gonna influence system performance. You're just not. Now, as silencer technology gets more advanced, or the cartridge changes, you know, the mount can have a huge effect on performance. There's some things that can happen. Now, here's another textbook example to another extreme. Take a CGS Hyperion, okay, or the Hyperion technology in general. Actually, the Hyperion technology in general, or things like it that vent gas very quickly after close to the entrance. Now, the Hyperion tech, it has advanced gas pads. So if you change the way the mount works, for example, on like a silencer that uses the Hyperion technology that can change mounts, like the Helios QD. The Helios QD has Hyperion technology. If you change the mounting configuration of that particular silencer, you can actually radically change the performance. Now, a Hyperion is direct thread. So so that's actually fortuitous for that silencer, right? It's fortuitous, in my opinion. It's my opinion that the Hyperion being direct thread is actually really good for the Hyperion because it controls gas dynamics purposefully. You understand? Here's another example. Take a Huxworks or OSS silencer. You guys are very familiar with those. We just took a look at one. That thing, how does that work? Well, it's really dependent on immediate gas venting to an annulus. Is it the same type of annulus as the Hyperion technology? Well, no. But it's similar in early time, it's similar. And so it's not the same, but they share similarities. And stay tuned for some of that. That's actually quite interesting when you change combustion regimes. But you better believe the mount lets that happen. The mount is letting you. And with the Hyperion, it's the direct thread. You have the muzzle right there. With the OSS, their mounts let the gas vent immediately to the outside. There's chambers in the OSS that are immediately accessed, you see? You see this with the Surefire stuff for a different reason. But you know what? You're going to start to see it more from Pew Science. As we move into some other stuff, actually, that's been tested, it's going to get wild, guys. Really wild. Never before have so many people understood silencers. And I think this is really great. We're really understanding how silencers work. And when you talk about back pressure and flow restriction, I'll just never forget when people were like, man, if you just make the blast chamber really big, the back pressure will go down. And I'm like, no, no, absolutely not. What if you take the gas and you send it somewhere else really fast? What does that do? Increase flow rate. What does that do? Decrease back pressure. What if we prove time and time again how that happens? Look at the Hyperion K. Look at the RC2 series. Look at the OSS, guys. What do they have in common? And you think those are the only things in the market doing that? Well, no. You're going to see more from Pew Science that we've tested that do this on. And it doesn't have to be on a rifle. It doesn't even have to be on a rifle. Guys, these principles are universal. This is gas dynamics. This is physics. You can, once you understand how silencers work, imagine your power. Imagine your power. What you can do. What you can create for people. All you need to know is how they work, and then you can do anything. Don't you see? Oh, we're giving you so much absolute power here. Your mind is only the limitation. I hope that answers your question, sir or ma'am. Question 261, sub-question 64. Will you ever do live streams on Instagram or other platforms for a quick Q&A? Also, please leak the chili recipe. You can tell how old these questions are. That was probably from like when it was cold outside, me making chili. Thank you for the question, sir, ma'am. And I will say the chili recipe, I'll certainly tell you that. I'll publish it on my website. Section 8 of the Silencer Sound Standard, chili. No. To your question, will I ever do live streams on Instagram, other platforms? Yeah, actually, great question. And yes, in fact, I did one just the other day when I was out shooting. And I was talking to folks about flash with the HXQD762 on the SCAR 17 CQC. That's right. And you know what, guys? I got my Scarbrator. By the way, I just haven't had a chance to install it yet. And you would think it'd be, oh, what are you talking about, Jay? It's so easy to take the gas plug out of a SCAR. And it's like, yeah, but I got to loosen the rail to get it in there because the carburetor's a little longer. So I can't just, like, I took out the stock gas plug and then I was like, oh, let me put the carburetor in. And I went to do it and I was like, oh, I can't quite fit it in there because the KDG rail I have, the Kinetic Development Group rail, the opening is, and I was like, oh, maybe I can just Dremel the rail. And I was like, oh, I just have to loosen it a little bit, and then I'll put it in there, and it'll work fine. But I was like, I don't want to get the Torx bit out, and thankfully I don't have any optics on my rail, so I wouldn't have to re-zero anything. But I do have to, and I think I Loctited it, so I was like, okay, let me get the heat gun, and let me, like, you know, do this right, and clean off the screw, and re-Loctite it, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Make sure it's all perfect. So I didn't want to, like, dive into that project on a weeknight. Or actually, I got this weekend, but I was so busy with Pew Science stuff, I didn't have time. Actually, I didn't go shooting this weekend, and I didn't even mess with the gun. I was gonna clean the SCAR this weekend. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe when I get time to do that again, I'll clean the SCAR. I'll give it a good cleaning. It hasn't been cleaned yet, and it has 800 rounds of M80 ball through it. So, 800 rounds of 308 without cleaning is kind of crazy, right? So, I'll clean the SCAR. I'll clean that OSS silencer. I'll install the Scarbrator, and I'll try some other silencers. Maybe we'll start that soon. So I did want to let you know. So I know this is a question about live streams, but I wanted to let you know. We were talking about shooting the SCAR. I was out there shooting, and I have service, so I turned on my Instagram there, and we did a live. And it was really fun, and I liked those. And I think I did a couple that weekend. I want to say it was a couple weeks ago. A couple weekends ago I did that. And some people showed up, and we answered questions, and it was really fun. I enjoy that. I think I'm going to do more. You know, every time I've done it, they've just been impromptu. So maybe next time I do one, maybe I'll announce it ahead of time, and that way we can have more people, and it'll be fun. And I really like doing them. I really like it. It's really fun. And so, yeah, let me know what the best time of day and the and the time of week is, we'll shoot for that. And you know what? Maybe let me know. Let me know what time you guys like. You know, I don't know if weekdays is good. I think maybe it'll be a weekend thing when we all have time, because I think we're all busy. I know I am. Okay. We'll shoot. We'll figure it out, guys. All right. Let's do some more. Question 262, sub-question 65. Is there a way to delay direct blowback to aid suppression? Or is rotating delay blowback / bolt action the only way? Oh, what he really means. Let me read that. Okay, is there a way to delay direct blowback to aid suppression? Or is RDB / bolt? Oh, so what he means is roller delayed blowback or rotating delay, whatever. You get the point of his question or her question. Excellent question. You're talking about if you have direct blowback, and he's talking about, you're not talking about any weapon, but he's probably talking about a pistol cartridge. If you have direct blowback, this person is asking, man, how do you make it a better silencer host? What kind of methods are there out there? Well, there are a few ways. And, you know, just I think it's important to understand what the ways are totally, like in general, like how we do this. You know, because you really, you're usually going to have some kind of spring force. You're going to have inertia force. What's inertial force? Inertial force is it's the mass at rest that you have to overcome through accelerating that mass through displacement. And that is a force. It's a resisting force. And the famous equation for that is F equals ma. And that's a really simplistic way to look at that, but that is what it is. Okay. And then also, besides a spring force and an inertial force, you also have a mechanical lock that can delay things. And what does that mean? It's almost like it's like a mechanical delay. And how do we do that? Well, you could use it a bolt with a carrier that moves, and when that carrier moves, maybe it rotates the bolt. Where have you seen that before? Well, you see it in AR-15. You see it in the SCAR. So you can do that type of thing, and you can do it with direct blowback in a way, a little bit. I mean, you have rotating delayed blowback without a gas system, right? The CMMG stuff. You have roller delayed blowback without a gas system. HK, right? You have direct blowback without a gas system that only uses that inertia and spring. You have the BNT TP9. That's a rotationally delayed blowback system with a cam too. I mean, it sucks, but it is out there. And then, you know, there's probably other ways. Like you could do a gas retarded piston, like the HKP7. You guys know about that, right? The HKP7, that's a gas-operated pistol with a piston, with the gas goes from the chamber into this gas volume under the barrel there. And when the piston comes backward in recoil, it forces against the gas pressure there, and it retards it with gas pressure. It's really crazy. You know, that the Alien pistol does the same thing. I've never shot that one. You know, I have a P7. I've had it for many years. It gets really hot when I shoot it a lot. And so I can only assume that the Alien gets hot too. Heat transfer, just one of those things that you can't get away from when you have hot gas there, combustion products. Now, I think there are probably other ways to do this with direct blowback. I'm trying to think. Like, you're talking about, like, direct blowback instead of like a gas system, I guess. I mean, it's either going to be spring, inertia, or mechanical. And I mean, you can get creative, right? You got to realize in the firearms community, people copy a lot and evolve. To come up with something truly innovative, it's challenging. It's an engineering feat. And so doesn't always happen, but when it does, boy, is it cool sometimes, and sometimes it crashes and burns. But it, you know, we should brush off the old small arm design textbooks. You know, we should maybe go to the bookshelf here at Pew Science and take a trip down memory lane. That might be a good episode in and of itself. It'd be cool to get like a small arm designer on here. Wouldn't it be cool if Eugene Stoner was still alive? That'd be cool. Okay. That's a good question. I hope I confused you even more. Question 263, sub-question 66. What's your favorite dog breed or dream breed? Huh. Never had a dream breed before. Well, you know, I think an Australian Shepherd is the dog we have right now. She's amazing, and I love her. I do. I have had a German Shepherd before as well. I've had some other dogs. I really like Shepherds, I think our next dog is going to be another Aussie. Probably. Man, it's definitely my style of dogs. I've come to really love this Australian Shepherd. It's very loyal, and it's very affectionate, and she shadows you, and they look cool, and they're smart, and they're cheerful, and they're super energetic. It's my type of animal. It's just, I'm definitely a dog person, and I really like Aussies. And I'm kind of surprised. I didn't know about them. I really wasn't familiar with them earlier in life. And now I have one, and I love her. And it's just, I think it's just such a good dog. I've never had a dog that good before. When you say, oh, that's a good dog, this dog is just good. I swear, when we lose this dog, I am going to cry so much. It's going to suck. But hey, it's part of the circle of life. But yeah, so my favorite dog breed, I don't know. I think Australian Shepherd's got to be up there. And dream breed? You know, when I was a kid, I had a buddy. He was a good kid. This good buddy I had. He had a Rhodesian Ridgeback, this kid did. His family did, at least. They lived on a farm. I go visit him sometimes. I knew him from school, but he lived kind of far away from me. We were in the same class, and you little kid, you go spend a night at someone's house. You go play and skin your knee, you know, kid stuff back in the day. Anyway, so I was hanging out at this kid's place, and this Rhodesian Ridgeback. Those are such unique dogs. They are very tough. You know who has a Rhodesian? I'm pretty sure David from Discreet Ballistics. Shout out, David. I think he has Rhodesian Ridgebacks, I want to say. They're really cool. They breed them in, I think, sub-Saharan Africa, I want to say. They sometimes use them for lion tracking or hunting, I want to say. They're insect bite resistant. I think they're really good in hot climates. I think they're pretty resilient animals. But I do know that the temperament of a Rhodesian Ridgeback is a lot different, for example, than a herding dog like an Aussie or other shepherds. I think the temperament and maybe not the temperament, but the, what do you call that? Their proclivities or how they listen to you. Like I think that the Rhodesian Ridgeback is going to do whatever it wants, and it will oblige. And look, I know there's going to be dog trainers coming out of the woodwork. I'm not a dog trainer. I'm certainly not a dog psychologist. I'm not a dog whisperer, but I'm pretty sure the Rhodesians are hard-headed. But so I think they're cool. I wouldn't call it my dream breed, but it is a breed I've been interested in, and it would be neat to hang out with one more and get to know it. So I hope that answers your question. That's kind of a unique question. Don't really get those a lot. So thank you. Question 264, sub-question 67. Pew Science merch coming soon. I've been slacking, guys. Well, I haven't been slacking. I've just been too busy. I haven't prioritized it, really. That's really the truth. It's not that I've been too busy. I've just not prioritized the merch. We had some internal conversations. Might get it going. I've just been so focused on the work, guys. So focused on testing and analysis and research. I haven't made time to really dig into that method of monetization. It would be smart for me to do so, especially with the incredibly awesome folks who have requested it. Should I make some money? You're like, that would be great. Yeah, so I'll probably do it. I'm sorry that it's so delayed. I am, sincerely, but it just hasn't happened. So thank you for the reminder. Question 265, sub-question 68. Could preventing gas leak at the charging handle slightly improve ear signature? Reference, new Silencer Co. charging handle. Oh, that kind of gives you an idea of when this question was asked, considering it was when Silencer Co. released that charging handle with a gasket. One second. You know what that is, right, guys? Silencer Co. released a charging handle. It just has an O-ring in it. It seats against the upper. That's all it is. Your question is it going to change your signature at the shooter's ear? No. I highly doubt that. First of all, let's talk about the physics of why. Time duration. Okay, the pressure pulse from the ejection port, it's going to occur well before the gas has time to propagate out of the gap between the charging handle and the upper receiver, dude. Solutions like that, that's a Band-Aid, dude. That's a Band-Aid. I actually think they're a little irresponsible. It's actually a little irresponsible to make a product like that, because if your rifle is that overgassed, using an O-ring like that may not help the toxicity risk all that much. Okay? It's actually fooling you, I think. What I would want to do, and this is, I mean, that's my opinion, okay? But what I would want to do is I would want to put it in an apparatus they use to test toxic blowback on rifles, like I've seen used in labs, and then I want to see how much difference that makes. I bet it's not a huge difference, because if it was, they would have done that and they would have shown the data. And why is my postulation that it's not a huge difference with that thing? It's because of the gas volume coming out of the barrel as the bolt opens. Guys, come on. Think about flow rate. Think about time. Think about gas volume. Okay? I'm not trying to be aggressive and lecture you here, but I think this is a great question. And I'm not going to say I don't think it's a good product, but I'm going to answer your question. You said, could preventing gas leak at a charging handle slightly improve ear signature? I'm going to say no. Because you specifically referenced the Silencer Co. charging handle. I'm saying no, it's not going to. If it does anything, you asked slightly, and it's like, no. Maybe noise, like anomaly. Like if you saw a difference, it wouldn't matter. I wouldn't put any credence in that for that purpose. Okay, and now it could probably mask a problem you have. People put RTV gasket maker on their ARs. Like, oh, it saved my gas. No more gas in the face. I'm like, you really? You sure about that, buddy? You sure you're not breathing that in? It's a little bit lower concentration. You think you're okay? Come on, man. All right. Question 266, sub-question 69. Why don't more silencers go down like the Salvo 12? Why don't more silencers go down? Oh, you mean you're asking why don't more silencers have eccentric offset, like go below the barrel line? Oh, that's cool. Have you ever seen that video on the internet when these guys are in this boat and they are floating on this little river, right? Little river, little creek. And they're approaching a waterfall. And one of them's not facing it, and one guy is facing it, and there's two guys in his boat, and the one guy's like, it goes down. He's like, it don't go down. It's like, it goes down. And the other guy's like, it don't go down. And then the guy who was saying it didn't go down, he turned around and looked at him. He's like, it do go down. And then they fell down the waterfall. So when this guy asked this question, why don't more silencers go down like the Salvo 12? I immediately thought about that. That funny video. Yeah. So you're actually asking about the eccentric offset below the borderline, like the Salvo 12, you know, or for another Silencer Co. product, the Osprey. They're eccentric pistol silencers, which are direct conceptual copies of the AAC Black Box, right? Like everyone knows that. That's the AAC Black Box got out. I need to actually call them and ask them if they could just try to make one of those. I just love the way it looked when I saw it back in the day. It was a concept 45 silencer that was probably not the quietest, probably not the loudest, but it did exist and looked cool. It looks way cooler than I think the Ospreys look, but hey, teach his own. So the reason, one second, to answer your question, the reason why more silencers don't go down or have that drop offset, I don't know the exact reason, but I'm going to speculate and I'm going to say probably cost, weight, design complexity, and things like that. Okay, it's hard to make something work well and be cost effective. Like it's way easier to copy things. And also, round things are easiest because machines that make them turn. The lathes and stuff, they turn around. It's easy to make things that are round. Because when you machine round things, you're like, oh, it's already turning. Let's make it circle. That's what I think. I don't know. I'm not a machinist. But a lot of the things you see in the silencer industry are copied, or they're done in the simplest way possible, because making things and making a lot of things at scale is much easier when the parts are simple as possible. Okay? It's actually a really good argument for additive manufacturing. You know, once we see the first eccentric pistol silencer 3D printed, which is going to need to have something like easy lock so you don't get baffle strikes, I think. I don't know. Or maybe you have a serialized mount so you can dump the 3D printed core. I don't know. It's going to be awesome. I'm making a prediction here. Look, don't get it twisted. I don't know of anything that's happening. I don't have any insider information. I'm just putting it out in the universe right now. Okay? I feel like we can make this happen with intention. Just put it out there. No, it's going to be awesome. I hope a company that's currently 3D printing stuff hears me say this. Do it. Make an awesome eccentric 3D pistol, 3D printed pistol silencer that's short and awesome. Make the gas vent super fast. Make the gas vent super fast in early time. Use that extra volume to do that. Trust me. Just if you hear nothing else I say. If you're a silencer designer, make an eccentric pistol silencer, 3D printed. Send the gas immediately in the silencer off the bore line down to a channel like a trough. Use that volume to do that. Think outside the box to make the box. Pew science. I hope that answered your question. Question 267, sub question 70. When will you test 300 blackout on a Nomad 30 and a Nomad L on 556 on a Nomad? When will you test 300 blackout on a Nomad 30 and a Nomad L on 556 on a Nomad 30? Wait, no punctuation. When will you test 300 blackout on a Nomad 30 and Nomad L? On 556 on a Nomad 30. Okay, I don't know what your... Thank you for the question, sir, ma'am. I don't know what your exact question is. All of the combinations you just stated in your question, I don't give ETAs, but it's coming for sure. For real, no cap. No, it is though. Stay tuned, friends. I did shy away from Nomad stuff for a while because I didn't know if it was going to change again. And it was a nightmare. When I released Nomad data and they're like, well, it's different now. So the performance, and then I tested the Nomad TI and it was quieter, like by a lot. And I was like, what? And I don't like repeating things. I'm just like, it would be one thing if it was like, this is Gen 1, this is Gen 2, this is Gen 3, except they're not marked like that. So how am I supposed to know? And that's not contracted work because they don't want me to, like, they're not talking to me about testing. So I was like, okay, well then this is for the, what? This is what, I'm going to keep wasting Pew Science member funding to test something and we don't even know, like, what is the consumer's hands? So that's why I took a break from it, because I was like, we can focus on things that we know what they are, and we can focus on contracted work that keeps the effort going. And frankly, like, you know, so I have some of this data. It's just that let's hope that it's applicable. I think it is, but I don't know. So, like, we'll see, and I think it'll be great. I think the performance is interesting, and I think that enough people probably use it on those platforms to make the risk of me publishing it, even though it might not be applicable, not as bad, because it'll still help enough people. You know, you kind of have to look at the numbers, and I don't even know have those numbers with regard to, like, what production is what. You know what I mean? So, like, what did I talk about earlier in this episode? Well, I talked about how it's important to help people. And that's why it's so great that it's a research cooperative. Well, cooperatives are only as good as cooperation. So, like, if we have an unknown that we can't prove or disprove, well, then we got to be very careful how we approach it, because what we don't want to do is get into a situation where I publish something and then someone's like, no, didn't you know that that's actually not how we do that anymore? And it's like, well, I'm sorry, it's not labeled, dude. So how am I supposed to know that? You know what I mean? So, like, you understand, like, how, like, it puts me in a very difficult position, because I'm not going to retract the article because I tested it and it is the answer. Okay, if you want to tell me that the silencer is not like that anymore, well, then that's on you. You feel me? Okay. All right, that is all for tonight. I'm going to go ahead and highlight that row. I hope that was useful to everybody. I enjoy doing those questions. And thank you, Sir Man, for that question about the Nomad series on different cartridges. Thank you for asking that. Again, I don't give ETAs, but I did give you a little bit of background on some of the things I have to deal with. And this isn't only about Nomads, but it is about a lot of different silencers. Those are some of the things that I take into account when I decide how much utility the data will have for the general public. It is a very big cross to bear. Okay, I'm going to save that. I'm going to highlight that row. We are good to go, and we will continue. We have still quite a bit. We're chipping away. I bet you in two more we're going to finish that solicitation. So that's perfect. All right, I'm going to close that spreadsheet. Okay, so now let's move into topic four at a time of 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 36 seconds. Topic four. Oh, yeah, this will be short but important. Man, I got so many heartfelt communications in the past week. I try to repost a lot of them. If they happen through DM on social media, I'll repost them. I don't repost them all, but because I don't want to be obnoxious, but I do repost quite a bit. Not in permanent posts or anything, but in stories, just to show people kind of what's going on currently. And usually when I post them, they're either like really new, or at least they're not more than a day old or so. And I get these communications from you guys, you know, from the public daily. I get it from Pew Science members all the time, a lot via email too. And I don't like to post the email as much. I just feel like it's a different thing. Although I could. You know, 99.9999% of the communication I'm receiving is positive. And you wouldn't think that with all the crazy stuff going on and the drama in the industry, but it is. And you know what? I also received some constructive criticism. And, you know, some people, I had a guy, and I don't know if he's listening to this. He might be listening. He might not be. I had a guy, he joined Pew Science, and he canceled his membership like the same like minute, because he found something to be hard to do on the website or something. And I was like, oh, I get it. I asked him, I was like, hey, so like, can you like, let's talk about this, because like I'm interested in your feedback. And we talked for a long time, like an email. He wrote a very long email. I wrote him a very long email back. We went through all the points and we spoke about it. And I really appreciated that. I was like, wow, you are really, you know, it, because you got to be careful when someone criticizes you. You can't react knee jerk. You really gotta. I mean, this is just something I've learned. I wasn't always like this, but something I learned is you gotta listen. You gotta try to put yourself in his shoes or her shoes, and you gotta try to think, okay, where are they coming from? Why are they saying that? What are they thinking? And when you do that, you'll find that you benefit. And sometimes you see that they're just trying to be mean, which, hey, sometimes people are mean, but I think most people are not mean. Most people are pretty nice. And so so that happened, and that was really good. So that was an example, but it was just about the website and stuff like that. I think that guy emailed me after I released some data, and he was like, oh man, that data was really good. And so you can see he was like, dude, I see like you're a one-man show, and I see why you're having difficulty with that. But then I think he was like, oh, he was like, this is actually really good. And I was like, see, and he's not a member anymore, which is cool. But it's fine. It's fine with me. That doesn't bother me. That because I want people to support the effort that want to support it. That's how I like to run things. And so that's fine. But it's cool that because I was patient with him, I was like, well, and he was patient with me. And I feel like we came away from that interaction in a productive way. And like, I feel like we can be friends. And like, I think he still sees the value in the effort. And that alone to me is a win. Okay. And this goes back to something I was saying a while back. I really do think you guys are a cut above everybody. Like even the people that are not members that are listening. I think you're just a better breed, a better section of the industry. And the mission will continue to broaden the ranks of people like you. I think it's step by step. We're raising the tide and all the ships are going to rise. Okay. And that would be a good Pew Science sticker. We talked about merch and the listener questions you asked. Wouldn't that be cool? Like you see those stickers like rise. And then all we would have to have is a little ship rising, a little Pew Science on it. That would be a great, I'm writing that down. Talk to Nathan about that. Hold on a second. Rise ship sticker. I think actually he owes me for something. I paid him and then he, yeah, I got to talk to, bless that guy. I'm going to be on his podcast. I'm going to be on C. Bernhardt podcast. We're trying to work it out. We're so busy and our schedules have been like missing. But I need to get back on that podcast. Those are good guys. But yeah, I need to commission him to do a sticker like that. Oh, that would be so cool. I'm glad whoever asked that question about the merch. Thank you for doing that. It jogged my memory. Now, back to this topic. More folks are sharing this stuff. And what that's doing is it's creating more opportunities for interesting research. I was contacted by a company today. They're not even in the silencer industry. They're in the firearms industry. And you wouldn't even believe it, these guys. And they're wanting to characterize some stuff that I don't think we would have been exposed to if it wasn't for all you folks sharing everything. Pew Science also just got asked to speak at a ballistics conference. I think that's something we're going to try to work out. Maybe even sponsor part of the conference in the name of research advancement. I think that might be cool. I might give a paper or something. I don't know. It's just something I'm trying to balance with other things I'm doing. So yeah, and that's actually happened a few times. People have asked Pew Science to do that for various organizations. So I think that's a neat way to share the research as well. It shares the research completely outside of this industry and outside the consumer space into academia, which is a great place to share research too, which I think is really great. So all of you folks, you thank me every day. And so I really want you to know that I sincerely thank you. We're doing it, okay? So stay tuned this week for parts of the fruit of your contributions. And what you see this week would not be possible without all of you. It really wouldn't, all right? Okay, so stay safe. Prime your silencer brains. And we'll talk to you folks again soon. Okay, bye.